Welcome to Author Radio.
Welcome to Author Chats. I'm Elizabeth Kelly. On Author Chats, we feature in-depth conversations with writers about their recent works. And today, we are happy to have with us Dale Degenshain, who, along with her colleague and fellow attorney, Joel Cohen, have written an important book titled Broken Scales, Reflections on Injustice, which has been published by the American Bar Association. Welcome, Dale. Dale? Well, I see Dale in the queue, but in any event, Dale hopefully will call back and we can talk with her in a moment. Broken Scales is basically the story of 10 individuals. It's a series of 10 interviews conducted by Mr. Cohen and Ms. Degenshain over the past couple of years, profiling the different ways America's criminal justice system made mistakes. I see Dale back in the queue. Are you with us, Dale?
I am, Elizabeth. Can you hear me?
Loudly and clearly. Thank you so much, and apologies for the technical difficulties. I was just telling our listeners about how Broken Scales was organized. That is to say, it's a series of 10 interviews conducted by you and Mr. Cohen of individuals who had bad experiences, patently unfair experiences with America's criminal justice system. You start out the book with a sort of man bites dog situation. That is to say, you interview former Alabama prosecutor A. Martin Stroud about his prosecution, which turned out to be a wrongful prosecution, of a gentleman by the name of Glenn Ford. Very briefly, tell our listeners who Mr. Ford was, who Mr. Stroud is, and why you began Broken Scales with this particular story.
Well, first of all, it's nice to be here. It's nice to speak with you. Thank you for having me. Having said that, let me tell you about Marty Stroud and Glenn Ford. Marty Stroud is a prosecutor in Louisiana, and more than 30 years ago, he prosecuted a death penalty case, and he prosecuted a gentleman by the name of Glenn Ford. Glenn Ford, it turned out 30 years later, Mr. Stroud learned, was innocent because additional evidence had come to the forefront that wasn't available, wasn't there when he was prosecuting Ford. But it allowed Stroud to sort of rethink the entire process and what happened during the 1984-1985 trial of Glenn Ford. And it allowed him to really understand some of the injustices that occurred at the time of the trial, not the least of which is that this was a capital case, this was a death penalty case, yet Mr. Ford was being represented by two attorneys who, as Marty Stroud says, did the best they could. One was an oil and gas attorney, another one had maybe done one trial, but certainly not a criminal trial, and they didn't understand, nor could they, the nuances of what goes on in a criminal trial and B, a capital trial. So it was an interesting story, and it was one where, you know, Marty Stroud at this time in his life really puts forth that the death penalty should be abolished. He also, very interestingly, says that prosecutors, all attorneys who work in the criminal field should visit a prison. In Ford's case, it was Angola. And he's saying everybody should visit and see what exactly they are subjecting another human being to so that they can understand really the importance of their actions. Interestingly, it's funny, Joel Cohn and I went back and forth and couldn't decide how to sort of put these in order. And at first we said, well, let's put them in the order of the most egregious injustice to the least egregious injustice. And as we read through each of these stories, which are all different stories and which are all told by the individuals directly, we realized that we couldn't possibly do that. We couldn't possibly make the call as to what is or is not more painful or more difficult from one to the other. So we ended up actually doing it in alphabetical order, Glenn Ford being the first story. Yeah, it was very, you know, what is egregious to me may be different to you. There are some stories in here where, frankly, people may say, well, you know, not so bad.
Hold that thought. I should tell our listeners that Broken Scales is not just a story of wrongful convictions. It profiles other actors in the criminal justice system. That is to say, a judge who was defeated for her reelection bid, basically for an opinion she wrote when she served on the Iowa Supreme Court. Another judge was forbidden because of her Iranian heritage to preside over immigration cases involving people from that country. But there's another story which took me by surprise, and other than I thought it was a wonderful interview, I'm a bit taken aback as to why you included it in the book, and that is to say, this is the interview of the gentleman who was the holdout from the trial of another individual who was accused of killing the little boy Eitan Potts, who disappeared many, many years ago in New York City. Tell us why you and Mr. Cohn included that interview.
One of the things that was important to us when we started thinking about this book, and let me just digress a second, Joel had previously written Blindfolds Off, which is interviews, similar format, same format really, interviews with 13 federal judges about important cases that they had decided and what the judges' thinking was, what their prejudices were, how they put them to the side. And as I was involved in that book, and as he was writing that book, we began discussing the concept of injustice and whether we could do something similar as to injustices. And it was important to us that we look at injustice from all points of view. For example, we have Marty Stroud, a prosecutor, who perhaps committed an injustice. I think he certainly feels that he did. We have defendants who had served time. They were exonerated. And we look at it from their point of view. As you say, we have the two judges who were improperly, one was defeated in a recall election, in a retention election, because of her vote on same-sex marriage. Another one who was invited to a White House roundtable on Iranian-American relations and was then told she can't handle any more Iranian cases. So as we were looking at this, we said, well, let's look at a juror. Let's look at this from a juror's point of view and understand a little bit better what actually goes on in a jury room and what goes on in a jury room in a case as important in New York anyway as the Eitan Potts case. And just briefly, what that case was is Pedro Hernandez is a person who, it is alleged, in the 1970s killed a 6-year-old boy. He was first brought to trial just a few years ago, and he was in fact first interviewed by the police a few years ago. Supposedly Hernandez had, or the testimony showed that Hernandez had told a few friends and an ex-wife that he had done something bad to a boy back in the 1970s. Hernandez was in fact working in a store 2 or 3 blocks from where Eitan Potts disappeared. There were other people who the defense presented, if you read Adam Sirwa's interview, there were other people who the police had presented who had a much better opportunity, including the babysitter's boyfriend, who was an acknowledged and convicted pedophile, and he also had access to the little boy. Adam Sirwa describes what goes on in the jury room. He was the sole holdout. The rest of the jury wanted to convict Hernandez, who Hernandez, by the way, apparently has a low IQ. And Sirwa just didn't see the evidence there. I will tell you that since our interview with Sirwa, Hernandez was tried a second time, and in fact, he was convicted. So it's an interesting story, and it's an interesting perspective. What's also interesting, and I don't know that you see this very often, at the second trial, jurors from both sides attended the trial. Sirwa actually became a consultant for the defense, and other jurors sat on the prosecution side of the courtroom during the trial. So it was really an unusual jury and an unusual case that grabbed them in a certain way.
And I should add that the importance of Mr. Stroud serving as the holdout is that he very firmly believed that Mr. Hernandez, because of his low IQ, was basically coerced into giving a false confession. And we know that people with intellectual and developmental disabilities are particularly prone to doing so. But you also, in Broken Scales, deal with another false confession, but this was a very different variety of false confession. That is to say, a gentleman was accused of having a radio transcriber at his hotel very close to Ground Zero. And subsequently, it was discovered that radio transcriber was planted in his possessions. But tell our readers why he falsely confessed.
Yeah, you raise a very good point on false confessions. That was a very interesting case, the 9/11 case, and certainly that is not somebody of a low IQ. He's a very, very bright gentleman. He is an Egyptian Muslim, and he was in this country on a scholarship to study at Polytechnic Institute in Brooklyn. He was across the street from 9/11, at a hotel across the street from 9/11, because they hadn't found housing for him yet. But he's somebody who, his father was a diplomat. He had been in the United States as a kid, so he is as steeped in the culture as any of us. He can discuss baseball. He can, you know, he speaks idiomatically. And it was told to the FBI by one of the hotel employees that this transceiver device, which allows people on the ground to talk to planes, was in this gentleman's safe. His name is Abdallah Hagazi. What happened was he wanted to take a lie detector test because he was so, you know, positive that he knew he was innocent. He was, in fact, innocent. And he decided to take a lie detector test. And during the course of that lie detector test, the FBI agent basically threatened his family, said, "Your brother is in Ithaca. We will make his life absolutely miserable. And by the way, your parents in Egypt, we will contact the Egyptian authorities. And you can be absolutely assured that your parents are going to have a problem going forward." And Hagazi said, "You know what? I have to confess. I have absolutely no alternative but to confess that this is mine." And as you see, he starts making up, you know, "I bought the transceiver device over here. Oh, I brought it over from there." And I, you know, and it didn't make a difference at that point. At that point, he said, "I have no choice but to confess to protect my family." It's a really unbelievable story. And let me just finish it for your listeners very quickly. It turns out an American Airlines pilot came to the hotel a few days after this confession and said, "By the way, where's my transceiver device? I was a guest in the hotel on 9/11. I left it behind." And they immediately released Hagazi, immediately.
Truly frightening. Unfortunately, Dale, we only have a couple of minutes left, but I do want to ask a final question. Although you have 10 wonderful interviews in Broken Scales, you do not have a specific section dealing with how the system could become more fair, how it could become more just, how things like this could be avoided in the future. Was that omission deliberate on your part?
It was. I think that it was important to let the reader look at the injustices themselves and sort of decide for themselves, you know, whether things were unjust. The idea was not to write, you know, sort of a primer for how to correct this. Certainly, Joel and I have thoughts about that, and certainly there are many scholarly articles about how to, you know, deal with injustice issues, certainly in the criminal justice system. You know, just very simple things like, you know, making, well, simple but not so simple, making sure that, you know, services for indigent defendants are properly funded or well funded. You know, there's something in sentencing called mandatory minimums, which is a minimum amount that a judge must sentence for certain crimes. It mostly actually has to do with drug crimes. And most judges will tell you that mandatory minimums are really not fair. You know, some issues like pre-indictment review by a member of the prosecution office who has nothing to do with the case. So they're not already tainted. They're not already wedded to an idea. These are ideas that are out there. There are certainly many scholarly articles about it. You know, and they're good ideas if they can be implemented.
But Broken Scales is a book not just for lawyers. It is very accessible, and it's something that I commend to everyone who cares about the American criminal justice system. If you've just tuned in, you have been listening to Author Chats. I'm Elizabeth Kelly. We have been discussing with Dale Degenschein her new book, Broken Scales, Reflections on Injustice, which has recently been published by the American Bar Association. Dale, again, thanks so much for joining us here on Author Chats.
A pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And thank you to all of my listeners. Please remember, injustice anywhere threatens justice everywhere.